What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Coach Mike McGarvey, Lafayette Leopards out of Patriot League. Mike, good to see you, man. Good to see you somewhere in Atlanta as well, at Lake Point. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on again. It was great to see you in the summertime out recruiting in your hometown, which is always fun.
Yes, indeed, man. Let me ask you, man, how's it been this offseason for you? Trying to get things going and get out to your first full year as the head coach now, and second going into year two now. So how'd you kind of self-scout this summer for you and your staff to make sure you all are getting better and staying ahead of the curve right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we finished very well, right? Tied for second in the Patriot League, and we got close enough to compete for a championship in mid-February. So that's what you want to be doing as a team and want your program to be competitive in that way. But towards the end, we didn't play our best basketball. And that's the one area where I said, okay, what does it take here with this group returning in terms of consistency and making sure that we have that push into March where we can perform our best in conference tournament play? And the two things that we looked at as a staff pretty critically was our offensive transition rate. We scored it pretty well when we were in transition, but we were a slower paced team and we didn't get out often enough to get easy baskets. So that's one area that we'll focus on moving into this season to play a little bit faster and make sure that we're trying to get earlier baskets in transition with advantage play. And then the other area was offensive rebounding. So those two things, you know, and I think those two areas contributed to pace of play, put us in some positions where we had to grind out some games, especially late in games with tight scores. So if we can improve in those areas, I think, you know, we'll be a much better offensive team all around. But it will just contribute to having more balance from the defensive end to the offensive end.
100%. You know, and I know a lot of coaches have been talking to me about wanting to crash your glass a little bit more. So how do you kind of balance crashing versus getting back in transition? I know it's always a tough balance trying to balance those two things. How much do we crash? How much do we get back in transition? So how do you kind of balance that as well?
Yeah, I think just being comfortable with having the more aggressive mindset. And, you know, we might give up a layup now and then if we're going and we're crashing and we're trying to get offensive rebounds. But over a 40-minute game, if we can go offensive rebound and get more possessions and get more stick backs and opportunities at the rim or kick out threes, then whatever we give up in transition, although it might be very loud, it might be a breakaway or something like that, it might be, you know, by percentages, I think we'll be in a better position to score rather than give up transition. So it is a balancing act, but it starts with just the mentality of we're going to be aggressive, we're going to go after the ball, and the objective for defense, at least for us, is to get the ball back anyway. So if we can go get that off of the rim before we have to play defense, then that's good for us.
In this summer, how much did you use analytics to show your guys who were returning from last year and the guys transferring in about their hot and cold zones? You know, I know my dad talked about with his players, you know, even in high school, you're not good inside the floor. You shoot from the right side of the floor right here. So how much did you use analytics to help your guys understand where their shot profile should be at and what's a good shot for them inside your offense?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. So I have an assistant coach in Nikolai Arnold, who has been, you know, heading our analytics ever since I was the head coach at Lycoming. So he's got years under his belt in looking at objective statistics and how that applies to not only individual performances, but also our team and lineup data as well. He's also took the initiative and started an analytics group on campus for students in general, to be part of our team and help us out with some behind the scenes data tracking. So we've done that pretty extensively as a staff, but how much do we share with the players? That's always the debate. You know, and I think it gives us some good indicators on some areas of improvement and what some of the guys are doing very well. And we'll have those conversations and we'll show the numbers to back up those things in terms of trying to get them to perform at an optimal level. But at the end of the day, it's also a player's game, and we want them to be free to make decisions and to feel confident in doing that and not be overloaded by information. So we share, but we don't overload them with that info so that they feel like they can't make the decision on the court and be a ball player.
100%. That's that great balance again about how much to give, make sure there's the right mix of it. And this summer, Mike, with you guys' workouts, was it more development wise or more trying to do team stuff? Because with this new era we're in, we have a new team every year. So how much do you have to kind of tweak the summer to say, let's do some concepts offensively and defensively versus just sheer development all summer long?
Yeah, we're fortunate. We didn't have any scholarship players enter the transfer portal. So I felt really good about our team and the returning group that we have. We've got six seniors that have all played meaningful minutes, and we've got a group of really talented freshmen to come in here. So for the summertime, it was a little bit more big picture concepts, trying to get the guys to play a little bit faster, like we mentioned before, to get the competitive nature in a practice setting ramped up as quickly as we possibly could, especially for the younger first-year players to get acclimated with what it takes to be consistent on the court over the duration of an hour workout or two-hour practice. So that's where we spent most of our time. But also, you know, we've got really good player development. I mentioned Coach Nikolai Arnold with the analytics, but we've got three other assistant coaches in Darius Dangerfield, Sean O'Brien, and Cameron Ayers, who played at a significantly high level and have all had individual careers that our guys look up to. So having them on the court to improve skills and get extra shots and to see the game in different ways from an individual standpoint was the secondary aspect of how we used the summer.
No doubt. And Mike, for those young guys, man, talk about getting them to see about how to have the right habits, be consistent every day in the weight room, in the film room, off the court, really loving the game of basketball and getting those guys to understand how much dedication it takes at the D1 level to be a great player.
Sure. I think we did a nice job of recruiting players that already have that. And it's not perfect, right? So every single individual has a different journey, and when it relates to like how much effort do they put into it, do they understand how to manage their day, what aspects of their game are they really focusing on, whether it's diet, sleep, film study, extra shots, whatever it might be. So all those things go into, you know, creating the optimal performance when it comes time to play. So, you know, we do spend significant time trying to help guys and meet them where they're at and then push them a little bit further and take it, you know, 1 week at a time. But really, you know, I feel great because our first year guys, not only do they have great habits on and off the court, but they also have great enthusiasm. So I mentioned that combination of having upperclassmen that have been in significant games and can lead with the enthusiasm and talent of our younger group. So it's been a really cool culture and dynamic for this year.
You got five freshmen, and you know, this world of everyone gets older and stay older. You got five young guys in the pipeline. So talk about high school recruiting right now and how, as the COVID guys age out this year, and, you know, the high majors are looking at the high school guys, you guys can get some quality talent internationally and domestically of high school player that you usually wouldn't get when guys are just focused on being old and staying old in that portal.
Yeah, well, look, Lafayette is one of the best academic schools in the country, right? So we're fortunate to be in that cluster of Ivy and Patriot League schools that provide strong academics and Division I basketball. So that helps us attract talented student athletes, regardless of whether it's transfer portal or freshmen out of high school. Where I think, you know, I mentioned that we didn't have any scholarship players enter the portal. We're not immune to that. So what the future holds, I don't have a crystal ball, but we might have to supplement at some point with some transfers. And but what I've noticed for us at Lafayette is that a lot of the mid-major schools and the high major schools have been taking transfers. And, you know, I watched the Mick Cronin interview the other day from the Big Ten Media Day, and he talked about like 50% of the roster in some cases have been flipped over. We haven't had that. So when you look at what some schools that are mid-major plus or high major that may be a little bit elevated from what our level is, they're taking other college players, which leaves a void to get really talented high school players. And I think that we're in a position with the kids that we have committed for the 2025 class, in addition to the freshmen that we have on our roster now, to have the most talented recruiting, back-to-back recruiting classes, I think, in, you know, maybe the history of Lafayette, which is exciting.
And what I love about your roster, Mike, is you got guys from 6'2 to 7 foot tall. So talk about defensively. It's going to help you guys be very multiple and very much variable in how you play, switch things on defense, do a lot of different things that way. So talk about having that ability to play multiple ways with the size you have on your roster from 6'2 to 7 foot tall.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of combinations right now. So for October 7th or 8th or wherever we're at, I'm thinking about all the different possibilities that we have amongst our roster, because we are pretty tall and long. We've got positional length, and we've got a bunch of combinations that could be exciting, whether that's defensively, whether it's offensively. But yeah, I think that to speak specifically to defense, we're anchored by a 7-footer who is one of the best shot blockers and rim protectors in the country a year ago as a junior, in Justin Vanderbond. So having that stability to protect the rim, to cover in ball screens, to be able to alter shots and defensive rebound is something that every single coach wants in their program, because it allows you to be a good defensive team with that type of anchor. And then the athleticism and the ranginess with our wings and our forwards. Our speed is really impressive with our guard play. So we can be creative. We can trap a little bit. We can play more 94 feet. We can switch ball screens. We can trap the ball screens. We can rotate out of some things aggressively. I've liked where our team is at this point in the season when it relates to our ability to defend and use that ranginess that you're speaking about.
No doubt, man. You know, he's 7 foot tall guy, can cover a lot of mistakes, man. So make a mistake, you got somebody behind you that can really help you at the rim, man. So that's great to have that seven footer in the middle anchor and everything, man. And also for you, Mike, as we get close to November the 4th, tipping off against Villanova, man, how excited are your guys to get into some of these close scrimmages, man, and scrimmage to see another color, man? I know how it used to be, man. He wants to see somebody else at some point.
Yeah, I don't think you're in Atlanta right now. You must be in our practice gym because we're hitting that wall, that stage where we can sense a scrimmage coming. We can sense an exhibition coming. We know that November 4th at Villanova is right around the corner. I think we're a little bit advanced from where we were the last couple years for this time of the season. And with that comes a little bit of anxiety or anxiousness to get out there and compete against somebody else. We're sensing that, we're feeling that out. It's getting a little bit monotonous competing against each other, and we play really hard on a consistent basis. So we're looking forward to seeing a different color jersey and seeing where we stand with them. It's not going to be pretty basketball, obviously, in October, but when we get into November and we start playing those games, it's going to be fun to see where we're at.
The main thing is compete without hurting somebody. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Let's compete without hurting one of our own. You know?
That's right. That's right. Hey, that's happening all across the country. I mean, yeah, I talked to a bunch of friends and their programs, and they've got some injuries. And the 2 weeks or 3 weeks into like the 20-hour season, you start to get a little bit of those things as you anticipate playing some games. But we've been, knock on wood, we've been okay and pretty healthy, and hopefully that remains that way.
Yes, no doubt, Mike. I was looking at your schedule, man. You got Villanova, as you mentioned, LaSalle. You got Rhode Island. You go down to GW. Talk about those playing those teams like that, man, and preparing you for that Patriot League play, and just knowing to get that experience of playing in these different historic places in Pennsylvania and around the Mid-Atlantic area, and really get to show what they can do against higher competition.
Yeah, for sure. For us being an East Coast and Mid-Atlantic located in, right outside of Philadelphia and close to New York, for us to play those games is important. We've got a lot of alumni in the region. And our players love playing those higher level games, right? So getting a chance to compete against those is good experience, but it also tells us exactly where we're at. And if you look at what happened a year ago, like we did not perform well playing a really tough schedule and we didn't get the wins. But the things that we were doing, we felt comfortable that they were going to translate once we hit Patriot League play. So playing that tough schedule allowed us to start off with a 7-game win streak in Patriot League play and put us in position to kind of make a run and be competitive in our conference, which ultimately is what we want to do year in and year out. As we look into this non-conference schedule, I think it's going to be a little bit of the same. We're going to play some elevated talent, some big programs, and I think that it's going to give our guys a chance to be competitive right away, but also understand that things that we're doing now, we're preparing ourselves for in January and February, and then, ultimately in March when it all matters for us mid-majors.
And Mike, how cool is it to have a MTU on campus, man? Talk about that, man. The experience having an MTU on campus, getting quality opponents to come in and play you guys and really show off what Lafayette's all about, man.
Yeah, it's great. So, like in our region, we have access to so many different, areas in the Lehigh Valley. It's easy to travel in from the north, from the south. You can fly into Newark or New York. You can fly into Philadelphia. We have an Allentown airport. So when we sat down as a staff and thought about, well, what are we going to do for especially the holiday after Thanksgiving? Can we play in a tournament? Can we host a tournament? We felt like this area provides a great opportunity to host teams in terms of what accommodations we have, locally, but then also to host home games against teams that are like us, where those were the two top priorities. So I'm really excited for that. I hope that we are going to have a lot of support in our own building in Kirby. But I know the players are excited too. We don't have to travel over that time. We get a chance to play some home games, and it's right back to back to back. So it should be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, kind of give you a little tournament feel to kind of prepare how that's going to go when tournament time comes around, so with that pressure of doing that, man. And so it's definitely great. And Mike, the last one for you, man, talk about how the Patriot League's basketball has even gotten so much better over the years, man, and how people should really check it out more because it's some quality ball going on in the Patriot League. And it's a lot of great coaches, a lot of great players, a lot of guys you'll see overseas eventually after they get done in the Patriot League play.
Yeah, you're right about that. So, you can look back into some of the recent future, and we've got guys like Mike Muscala and CJ McCollum, Malcolm Miller, and all in the NBA, right? So, from our small league to have players in the NBA, and then also kind of littered across international basketball, there's plenty of graduates that have gone on to play professional basketball. So, having the opportunity to play pro from our conference is definitely there, which is exciting for the players that we get a chance to coach. You hit the nail on the head. I got a ton of respect for the coaches in our league. They're very well studied. They run great concepts offensively and defensively. Every single game, you feel like each coach and team is very well prepared for what you're going to do. So you really have to bring your best to be able to be competitive in our conference day in and day out. I will say that I do believe that the league has gotten better this year compared to a year ago. I think most teams are improved in significant ways. Obviously, getting older is number one, but also, just like us, adding some talent. And we've got like five or six teams that return a ton from successful Patriot League seasons. So I think there's going to be a lot of parity within the conference, and it'll be fun to watch throughout the season for college basketball fans.
Well, Mike, I hope we're talking in March, man, when you're going to the big dance. I hope we're talking in March of that off week, and then you see where you're going to get to see you there, man. So I'm put it in the air right now, man. I was going to say, great to see you in Atlanta. I've been cheering for you all year long, man. And, anytime you want to come on the show, man, I'm glad to have you, brother.
I appreciate you, my friend, and I hope to talk to you in March as well.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.